Kirk preached this morning about listening and how we should be good listeners and all that. And hopefully what I say tonight will be good to listen to. That's also something that Kirk didn't mention this morning, but it's very important in listening is that if the person talking to you has nothing really all that exciting to say, it's kind of boring, and it's very hard to listen. So hopefully tonight when I present my lesson, it won't be like that, but instead it'll be more like Kirk, who's a pleasure to listen to. So I thought tonight that we would talk about, that's my visual aid. That's the only thing I have. I have no overheads tonight, so this is what you get a look at. Or you look at me. Your choice is it's not a rock, it's actually a piece of pavement. So you can look at a piece of pavement, or you can look at me. That's your visual aid to help you tonight. We're going to talk about what I asked a couple ladies about this afternoon. And that would be things that are precious. Things that are precious. I asked my wife what her most precious thing was, and she immediately said, me. So I had to say that right up front. So, someone thinks I'm precious. There's a lot in the Bible about things that are precious. We just sang a song about precious memories. People look at a lot of different things in life and think that they are precious. I guess it really depends on where in life you are. If you're very small and you're a small child, you might think that next cookie is pretty precious. If you're fairly old, you might think the next hour is pretty precious. And if you're somewhere in between, like most of us are, I won't be like Adam and make that generalization that everyone here is, you know, very decrepit, like he said a few weeks back. But if you're somewhere in between very old or very young, then probably you have something else. But usually it's something that you're focused on currently. And the reason that's usually true is because if something is truly precious to you, then it's usually something you spend your time with or around. You know, maybe it's money. Maybe you're interested in money. Maybe money's precious to you. Maybe it's a certain hobby. My son is very interested in guitars. He spends a lot of time looking at guitars, playing guitars, talking about guitars, dabbling with guitars, pulling them apart, all kinds of things. It really depends on what it is. And chances are it's going to be important to you right now because you're probably fiddling around with it right now. And you might have several things in your life that you feel are precious. Like many things. You know, parents think their children are precious. And rightly so. They should. You know, they are gifts from God, and they are very precious and dear. People think their parents are precious, eventually. And that's always a good thing, being a parent. I have to agree with that one. I think my parents are very precious to me. And, of course, we think God's Word is very precious because we know what it can do for us and what has been done for us, as, you know, by God. And so, you know, there are some very obvious things that are precious. The definition of precious, according to the dictionary I got, has four definitions. One of them is extremely. I thought precious, extremely. So I had to figure that one out. There is precious little time, or I have precious little patience for you, which may mean, you know, maybe you have precious little patience for me, which may mean extremely. So it's very, but these are something very small, but extreme. All right? Precious can also mean cute or charming. For instance, that child, a child with intolerably cute mannerisms, you might say, oh, your child is so precious. Or in my case, you might say my little dogs are so precious because I have to get them in. Another definition of precious is cherished. Now we're closer to what we usually think of. Characterized by a feeling or showing fond affection for, such as a cherished friend, children are precious, a treasured heirloom, and it's so good to feel wanted or precious. So there's another definition. And finally, the last definition of precious is probably the first one most people think of. It's the first one I thought of, which is a high worth, high value or cost, such as diamonds, sapphires, rubies. These are all considered to be precious stones. So there you go. That's what precious is. Now, what does the Bible have anything to say about precious? You know, I thought about that, and I asked my wife about it off the cuff to see what she would say. And I thought she had great answers, although they didn't come up in my Bible search. One of the answers that she came up with right away, which I should have thought of right away, was the Ark of the Covenant, right? And the things in the temple. They should have been precious to the children of Israel because they were, well, the temple itself and the most holy place is where God dwelt in their minds, in reality, God was with them, and also the tablets and the things that they had, like heirlooms, like you said here, of very high cost. And oftentimes, things that are precious are things that cannot be replaced, right? So, for instance, if money is precious to you, and you have a $5 bill, it's probably not that $5 bill that's precious, but rather the thought of what it represents. So if I had a $5 bill and I said, let's trade, you might trade me, my $5 bill for your $5 bill, because you would perceive no loss. Because it's the value that's precious to you, not the item. So the $5 bill is very common, but some people have a hard time getting two nickels together, let alone a $5 bill. So the idea of the value of the money is what's really precious to them. Okay, so does the Bible have anything to say about this? Yes, it does. Okay, obviously, there's some really easy things here. In 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 9, and I'll give you all the scriptures if you want. You want to copy them from me, I'd be glad to give them to you. Or we'll put them on the website here. But 2 Chronicles 9, verse 9, there's a quote here where the Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon and says, she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the Queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. So you see here, there's all kinds of money stuff going on here, wealth of gold and things like that. And they're very precious. And they're not precious because they're like, quartz. Because quartz is not precious. Quartz is very common. Again, things that are precious tend to be things that are very rare and very have value for some reason. All right. In 2 Kings, here's someone who gets in trouble for having precious things. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 13, Hezekiah hearkened to them. This is the people who came from Babylon. And he showed them all the house of his precious things. The silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointments, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. And there was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah did not show them. Hey, where's spies from Babylon? Let me show you. Everything I have is precious. Okay, that was a mistake. God points that out to him eventually here. But obviously, precious things can be things that we are proud of if we possess them, right? And there could be a problem there. In Hezekiah's case, there was a problem there. And also, of course, we have Matthew 26 and verse 7. That's a very famous quote there, of course. There came to him, being Jesus, a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. So we know that ointment was very precious and had much value. So we know that physical things can be very precious, all right? But again, physical things can be very precious. You look at this piece of asphalt here, and it weighs a good amount. Now, if I offered it to any of you for $5, I doubt anyone would buy it, right? Eric, what's a piece of asphalt like this worth? Is it worth anything? Can it be reused? It's crumbly and dirty, and is it good for anything? Can I melt it down and make a new
paperweight?
A paperweight. Okay. Well, I can get a rock as a better paperweight. This is dirty. I mean, my hand's getting black. I mean, it's got a lot of negative properties to it. So you probably think this is pretty valueless, right? But actually, I submit that some people would sell their soul for this piece of asphalt. And I'm going to tell you why at the end, of course. This is like writing a bulletin. First you get the hook in, then you talk about what you want to talk about, and everybody's going, what's that got to do with Matt Melanson? Then you get to the end, and you get the hook going. So that's what's going on here. So, I'm getting the podium, Gary, I'm sorry. All right. So, I submit some people would sell their soul for that piece of asphalt, or something similar to it. But we'll talk about that at the end. All right. So what other things are precious that the Bible talks about? The Bible talks about life itself. Life is precious. There's no doubt about this to us. I guess people in the world just have a hard time with this, right? They say, oh, you're old. We should just kill you and get rid of you. You're just eating our food and we should, they have no value to old people. And then, of course, there's always abortions, right? That's inconvenient. Gone. So I guess to us it's pretty obvious that life is precious. To the Bible it's obvious life is precious. Other people seem to have a hard time with that. So one of the things I'm going to mention is kind of a humorous account, is where Elijah is sitting on a hillside, and this is in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 13. The king there, the evil king, Ahaziah, this is Kurt's forte, he's the king guy, Azariah, he's the evil king, and Elijah's sitting on a hill, And he sends, this guy falls through the roof, he gets hurt, that's high, it's a high end. He says, what's going to happen to me? We should find out. Let's go ask the prophet of God. And they have lots of prophets around, but they're not prophets of God. So he sends his people off and says, go find the prophet of God. He expects them to be gone for a long time. They come back right away. And they say, he says, why are you back so soon? We found the prophet of God. What do you look like? Well, it's this big guy with robes. Oh, no. Of all the prophets of God, you had to find Elijah, didn't you? And of course, he's right there. Because that's where God put him. He's on this hilltop. So Ahaziah sends 50 troops or 50 men up to the hill and says, go capture him, arrest him, and bring him down. And they come up the hill and they say, you're under arrest, basically. This is the paraphrasing, but he said, basically, you're under arrest. And he says, if I'm really a prophet of God, then God can strike you dead right now. Boom, they're all dead. So the king's pretty angry. So he sends 50 more guys up the hill and he says, go arrest that guy. So the next 50 guys go up the hill, very brave. They go up the hill and they say, you're under arrest. And he says, if I'm a prophet of God, if I'm truly a prophet of God, then God might be dead. They're dead. But the third time, he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the captain of 50 went up, and he came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said to him, O man of God, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in your sight. Please don't kill us. Please don't kill us. Let our lives be precious to you. Behold, there came down fire from heaven and burned up the other two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight. In other words, please don't kill me because my life is precious. And after this works with Elijah, he says, okay, I'll go with you. But I'm not under arrest. That seems to be how it works out. But again, the Bible points out here, and Elijah agrees, that life is precious. Life is precious. I mean, these seem like obvious things, but maybe we need to look at this more often. Another thing that's very precious to God, which seems very strange to us, well, I'll get that in a minute here. But another thing that's precious is blessings from heaven. Blessings from heaven are very precious. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 13, it says, this is where Moses is blessing the people before he's leaving, he's going to die. And before he does that, he's blessing the people tribe by tribe. And he comes to Joseph, which is, you know, Ephraim, Manasseh. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that touches beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwells in the bush, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the head of him has separated him from his brethren. A lot of precious stuff in here. But what he's saying, basically, is that there's a lot of good things that are rare and valuable and worth having, even in this world. But they're blessings from God, right? The things that we get every day, our food, our homes, our jobs, everything we get, these are blessings, and they're precious. We should consider them to be precious. Moses says they are. Okay, another thing that's precious is very obvious. Is direct wisdom and knowledge from God, all right? And in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says, the child Samuel, when he was very small, ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So here they are in the days, there are very few prophets, true prophets, and here he was ministering to Eli as a youngster, and he was speaking the word of the Lord, and it was very precious. It was a rare and valuable commodity in those days. So we know that direct wisdom and knowledge from God is always that way. It's very precious to us. Proverbs 20, verse 15 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So you might have a whole stack of money, a big, you know, like Fort Knox, a big, you know, pallets of money, but that's not what's valuable. What's valuable is the lips of knowledge. That's what really is a precious jewel. Okay, everything worth knowing is precious in a way. And this is just an aside from Job. Job mentions God, and he says, God cuts out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes see every precious thing. Everything there is to know, everything that's rare, obscure knowledge, things that we might find very valuable to know. I would give anything to know. How was that done? How was that done? How was that made? Where did that come from? God knows all those things, and they're very precious, and he knows all these things. The book of Job talks a lot about the wisdom of God in great volume, so I'm not going to go into that here. But I am going to mention in passing that in Job 28, specifically, in Job 28, he talks a lot about wisdom, and that's where he says it is valued far above rubies and far above gold. So we know, because it's so precious, so we know it, Job himself. And remember, Job is talking, he's expounding why he is innocent, and he's expounding about the nature of God, and he's saying, you know, I'm innocent, and I didn't do anything wrong, but the wisdom of God is very valuable, and he talks a lot about that there in his defense. Okay. The will of God, the very will of God, what God has in mind for us, is very precious. It should be precious to us. In Psalms 139:17, the writer says, "How precious also are your very thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." So even to know the mind of God and what he has intended for us, that's a very precious thing. We should hold that in great value. Okay, there's some other things that are very obvious in the Bible that are precious. One of them is God's anointed, which would be Jesus. In 1 Samuel 26:21, well, actually, in this case, this isn't the anointed that's Jesus. This is the anointed that's Saul. Saul is a precious person. And the reason that is because David says, because he was chosen by God. Speaking about Saul, David says, Saul is saying, "I have sinned." This is when he tries to kill David, and David doesn't kill him, and David sticks the spear in the ground and runs off and says, "I could have killed you, but I didn't." And Saul says, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my soul was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Why was Saul precious? Why was his life precious? Not just the fact that it was his life. David killed lots of people. Right? He didn't spare Saul because he said, "Oh, well, life is precious, I can't kill Saul." He killed lots of people who tried to kill him. But he didn't kill Saul because Saul was anointed by God. And David, in fact, killed the man who killed Saul because he dared to kill God's anointed. Even though Saul was trying to kill David, he recognized that the anointing of God is a precious thing. Okay, Jesus the Christ is also very precious. In Isaiah 28, it says, "Therefore, thus said the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." This is also quoted in 1 Peter. 1 Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, it first quotes it in verse 6 and verse 7, it says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner." So we have here that the corner of the stone is very precious to us. We know that is Christ the Lord. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." So you weren't redeemed with silver and gold. You didn't buy your salvation. And you weren't redeemed because of this corrupt tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So you couldn't buy your way in, and you couldn't earn your way by obeying the law or traditions or anything else, but rather it was a gift, and it required the blood of Christ. So that's a very precious thing that cannot be replaced. Like many precious things, they're rare, and they cannot be replaced a lot of times. Okay, another obvious thing that my wife said right away, I said, "What things are precious to you?" She said, "Your soul. Your soul is precious." In Psalms 49, starting in verse 7, it says, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever, that he should still live and not see corruption." So you can't. There's no other way. There's no other way to redeem one or to save their soul. And the soul is precious in God's sight and in ours. But in this case, it's someone who was the enemy of the writer. And it says that none of us can save them. No matter what I do, I can't save this other person or redeem them. I can't pay any kind of ransom for it. Now here's the interesting thing I thought was that was uh, that surprised me when I studied things that are precious. In Psalms 116 and verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So the saints who are killed are precious in his sight. And I thought a lot about that. I read the context and everything. And the only conclusion I can make, I think it's the right conclusion, is that it's very hard to be obedient to the point of death. And that if we are obedient to the point of death, that has a very high value with God. And in fact, he considers us to be precious. Precious in his sight. I think 1 Peter chapter 1 backs that up, because in verse 7 it says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold which perishes. Christ thinks we're precious in the scriptures. In Psalms 72 and verse 14 it says, "He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight." And that's talking about the Messiah. Also, our faith is obviously precious because the Bible says so. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, who authors the book, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." How does our faith become precious? How do we get this precious faith? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, before that, we were carnal. We were common. We were valueless. But when we become obedient children of God, through righteousness, we become precious and valuable. I guess like a polished stone, right? You know, well, not that. Because you can't polish that thing. But like a polished stone, right? A precious stone, even in the rough, it has some value. But how much more valuable is it once it's been taken and worked, right? And cut or polished or turned, and then something that had some value becomes exceedingly valuable, right? Because it's been put through a trial. And that's the same with us. And finally, God's promises are precious. And they should be precious to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." This world is corrupt. It's not precious. The gold, the silver, and all the things that are in this world are going to perish. And they're useless. But we can escape the corruption of this world. We can become better. How can we do that? By becoming partakers of the divine nature and taking part of this exceeding and great promise, this precious promise that's offered to us. So I hope that when you consider the word precious in the scriptures, it comes up a lot more times, but these are the ones I want to talk about tonight. I hope that it helps you remember that we are precious and that we can be misguided in making some things more precious than they ought to be, right? We've seen here that you can't buy your salvation. We've seen here that you can't buy someone else's salvation. You can't offer ransom. We can't offer ransom for someone else. We can have something, a faith and promises that are very precious. We can have these things through obedience, through righteousness in God. So, I guess I want to conclude by saying that we should be sure that we don't beguile ourselves and that we don't trick ourselves and make some things more precious than they ought to be. And my conclusion here is the story, which probably many of you know. I told this at work. It's a joke. I hate to say it's a joke, but it is a joke. I told this at work the other day because we were in a big meeting with bi-coastal people, and I told this joke. And the people on the phone who were in India laughed because they got the joke. But the people I'm sitting in the room with, who are everyday, ordinary Massachusetts people, all looked at me like, "I don't get it." But the people on the phone got it, which I thought was interesting because they're a different culture. Anyway, here's the joke. God wants to go to heaven, or he doesn't want to go to heaven. He's going to go to heaven, but he knows he's going to die very soon. He's a very rich man. He's given a lot of money away. He's done a lot of hospitality to the poor, but he still has a lot of money, and he wants to go to heaven, and he wants to take it with him. So he prays to God and says, please, can't take some of this with me? And so God says, all right, you can bring one suitcase. And so, and that reminds me of someone today who I asked what was precious, and they said they had nothing precious left because when they came here, all they brought were two suitcases, and they had really narrowed everything down. But here, this guy is going to narrow it down to one suitcase. So he thinks to himself, how can I get the most money in one suitcase? Well, I can put greenbacks in there, but greenbacks aren't going to do me much good because when I get to heaven, they're going to say, what's this United States business? Useless. So he thinks, well, I can put in diamonds. And then he thinks, well, there's lots of diamonds and stuff in heaven. Because some cultures, diamonds aren't valuable. In fact, here they're not really valuable either. We just kind of pretend they are and pay a lot of money for them, but they're really not that valuable. So he thinks to himself, what am I going to do? Ah, I know. He fills his suitcase up full of gold bars. Because if you look historically, gold is very important and very valuable to the children of Israel. Solomon puts it all over his temple. To the people in all through the ages, all through history, gold has been a very valuable commodity. So he fills his suitcase full of gold. And he goes and he dies. And he takes his suitcase with him somehow. It's a joke, you have to work with me here. So he goes to heaven and he gets to the gate, because there's always a gate in his story. And Peter's at the gate, of course, because Peter's always at the gate in these stories. And Peter stops him and he says, you can't bring that in. And he says, I called ahead. God says I can bring one back. He says, let me check. He comes back. And he comes back and says, sure enough, God said you can bring in one back. But he told me to inspect it first. And so he opens up the bag. He looks at it. And he says, you got pavement? He's supposed to laugh there. Okay. Right, because why do we know this? Because Revelation 21:21 says that the streets are paved with gold. And some people would sell everything, right, for a little bit of pavement. They would give up everything they have for something that's completely useless when they die. So I submit some people would sell everything or a chunk of black, ugly stuff like that. It may not be black and ugly. It might glitter a little bit, but it's still the same stuff. It's the stuff that you're going to walk on when you go to heaven. All right? It doesn't... Is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. In fact, we'll be walking on it, and they won't be. But that's unfortunate. Because what does it say in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. That's where we'll close tonight with the lesson. What it says there is, what does it profit a man... So he gained the whole world, right, and lose his own soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you exchange your soul for something that you think is precious, that's really not precious at all? Or would you exchange your soul for nothing? Because you recognize that it's precious, that it's valuable to God, and that God wants it. And he does. He wants it, and you ought to want it too. And you ought to want the wisdom from God, and you ought to want an opportunity to go to heaven. And if that's what you want tonight, and your life isn't right with God, and you need to make it that way, whether you need baptized, or whether you need the prayers of the church, or you need encouragement in your life, whatever your case may be, if you need to make your life right with God, we offer that opportunity now. Would you please come forward as we stand and send the invitation?